Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Culés. Welcome to Barça Talk. I'm your host, Gabriel Quiroga, here in the Spanish capital. In today's episode, we review the Clásico from last night's Spanish Supercopa final. We give a quick FCB Femini update, and we finish with the best awards. Before we dive into today's topics, want to talk about our dynamic Patreon community. If you are craving more Barça content, we've got the perfect hub for you, our Patreon community. It's not just a community, it's a virtual peña where your passion for FC Barcelona finds company and conversation. For just $5 a month, here are some of the perks. Dive into commercial-free episodes of Barça Talk. It's all football, no interruption. Be part of our international WhatsApp group where the Barça chatter never ends. Get insightful post-game match reports and help support the podcast. Hit that link in the show notes and join our virtual peña. Let's get into today's episode right after this brief break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to hit the Clásico humiliation last night, obviously. And joining me to talk about that is my fellow Madrid neighbor now, pretty close, Craig McGough. Craig, how's it going? ¿Qué tal?
Very well, thank you. I mean, in relative terms, we're almost sat next to each other, aren't we?
We are.
Well, yeah, life is good. It was bizarre, to say the least, to experience my first Clásico, my then first Clásico defeat, and then the reaction to being in an office full of Madridistas to a first Clásico defeat in my new Spanish adventure. That was eye-opening. But apart from that, life is very, very good. How are you? Rested after your mega trip?
Yeah. So was in California, and then I went to Japan. Japan was, obviously, I was telling you before, it was amazing. Ate amazing food, met some great people, and it was really great. It was always on my bucket list. Never thought I would be able to do that. So was really great. Really quick before we get into this, you know, I don't know how it felt in your office today. Maybe people were obviously happy because Madrid won and so forth. But to me, it felt like not a big deal as much, especially like in the media, especially here being in Madrid, watching the news today. Maybe because of the outcome of the match and the way Madrid handled Barcelona. I don't know. How was the environment in your office? Were people just kind of like happy, but they were just kind of like, yeah, we knew it, kind of that type of attitude?
They were borderline apologetic.
Wow.
it was strange. It was almost like they wanted to offer me their condolences more than anything else, which I think, you know, the phrase un baño, I think there's never been more apt, I suppose. Well, certainly not for a long time. So from the Madridistas, they were almost sheepish about just how easy it was. And I was sat next to my colleague Sergio, who's from Granada today, and I tried to engage him in the conversation, and he just said to me, I don't have words for you. Wow, this is bad. So yeah, a strange atmosphere for sure. I certainly take your point, but yeah, they just seem to feel sorry for me.
Yeah, and like I put in the WhatsApp group, I just didn't want to see a manita. We at least we got that, you know, only four goals. I mean, Madrid could have definitely scored two or three more if they really wanted to last night. But you know, I would say in the past 4 hours, just seen in our Patreon WhatsApp group, just the amount of banter that's going back. And you know, we've been talking about this. This is not just about the Clásico. This is, you know, the last kind of 2 months of form, maybe even three or four if you want to continue with that. And I'm still at a loss because I know on one end, we don't have a situation where we can find an immediate replacement. Like Xavi is going to be the coach for at least the next month, you know, or more, right? Considering our financial burden. And my question that I always come up to is, you know, why can't Xavi get the best of these players just a little bit? Because, you know, I want to start with the defense. That's what I want to start with, Craig, because, you know, last year we had one of the best defensive outputs for FC Barcelona's history. And then we have the same players essentially, and it's a complete 180. And we have a question from Victor, because, you know, I put this to the Patreon community to help us guide our conversation. And he says, the irony with our defensive lapses, the same four guys last year were the best in the world, and this year the worst. Is this individual issues, or is this problem higher up the pitch in the midfield, putting them in bad situations? So what do you think to that question from Victor? First, really quick. I'm going to say, I mean, I don't think they're the worst in the world. It's just that there's a severe drop off from what happened last year. I'm going to say
Of course. I mean, I was going to say that a big side doesn't make entertaining radio. So sorry about that. But I think it's for such a seemingly simple question, I think it's so multi-layered that I almost don't know where to start. So if this becomes a bit rambly, I'm sorry, but I'll try and break down my thoughts, because I think it's a fundamental part to where we're going wrong. I think there's a few places we need to start before we even hit the players. The first one is last year was freakish. I remember saying that at the start of the season when, you know, one of the over-unders was, will we concede more or less? And I was like, we simply will not concede less than we did. But I think two things can be true. One, that was a freakishly low number of goals to concede, and this to be far too high. You know, I don't think it's a direct reflection of last year. I think we're poor irrespective. The other thing that springs to mind for me before we look at the individuals is that it just feels really erratic and a bit non-strategic. But I think you can start with the bench. You know, the Victor's question mentioned higher up the pitch. I think you can even go higher up the club if you like. I just feel like it's a microcosm of where we are, which is, I said it to someone today at work. This to me feels like Benitez's Madrid, where they had theoretically some great names. There were some superstars in that team. They had a manager that never stopped whinging, that was from the club, that should have been a legend, and it all just fell apart a bit. And I kind of feel like that's where we are. And I think that the defense is a microcosm of that. And I think you've got a very out of form Balde, which I don't believe we need to throw him out of the plans because of that. He's still a young kid, but he's grossly off it compared to where he's been. You've got Koundé and Araujo just having this bizarre battle as to who will play where. And, you know, neither of them doing particularly well. Koundé especially has been shocking this season. I mean, genuinely, I think you could name him as one of our worst players. Romeo will take that. They'll take that tag this year. But Koundé is a very lucky boy that Romeo's in the squad. And then you've got Christensen, who I rate a lot, to be honest, but he looks a little bit lost by, and I'm going to maybe be too generous to him, but he looks a little bit lost about what's going on around him.
Sure.
And then I don't think having Ter Stegen out helps. So I think you could argue that we don't have a single settled person that's involved in either playing in, setting up, or coaching the defense.
Yeah.
And you can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, take the first goal last night. I mean, I think that is the the microcosm of the disjointment. Is that even a word? Or disjointing of the defense?
Disjointedness.
Disjointedness. Where Koundé steps up, Christensen's back. Like, we don't know what's going in, you know, and what's happening. And all of a sudden, it's just a it's like the simplest through ball. Like, it's not any, you know, Bellingham was good to release it. I'm not giving credit being double teamed there. But at the same time, it wasn't like this epic type of through ball where, like, you know, showcase Bellingham's genius in any way. And then it was just a 1v1. And again, I, you know, with the defense, you know, I put the question here in the document, why do we continue to have such a high line? Like, what are we doing with this? I mean, to me, you know, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, this is something that was probably, you know, not the standard in modern football yet, you know, where now it is. And our team just can't handle that, especially in the first 20 minutes of matches. We cannot handle this high line. So, you know, from a coaching perspective, why does Xavi keep doing that? Like, we're not gaining any benefits or suffocating the other team to get turnovers that lead to transition. It's the opposite. You know, the other teams are just doing simple through balls over the top and then putting us in total risk.
Yeah. In my opinion, I think it's complete damage limitation. I think he's so nervous about conceding goals that he's just trying to simply move the danger away and away, away. Sure. You know, it's the equivalent of getting bills through your door and you just keep them piling up and one day you'll open them and it's not actually improving your situation. It just means that when it happens, it'll be worse. And I just think it's an encapsulation of where we are, which is there is an idea there somewhere. It's just not the right one. And even if it was the right one, it's not being transmitted well enough for it to work. And I think you can pick every area of the pitch and pretty much give that assessment to where we are, which is the idea isn't being given well enough to players who should be better enough to deal with it than they are. And therefore, teams are just picking us off.
Yeah. I want to kind of piggyback before we go on to the next topic about Koundé. I think Koundé's had some exceptional games and then he's had some shite games like last night, you know. And obviously when you're the defender and when you have a bad game and you let goals, like, it's, you know, obviously it punctuates to that performance, right? But I think it also comes back to the idea of we still don't have the true center back pairing, right? We're still rotating between the three of them. And I personally think, like, if I were, like, let's say a consultant coming into the team, I would just focus on the defensive back line to shore that up, because I think if we don't concede as many goals, we're in the match longer, right? I just heard a great quote from, or a great stat from the Spanish Football Podcast today, where they said, I think it's only three matches this season where we've had the lead past 70 minutes. Like, everything else has always been come back behind. And that to me is just like, that's the issue, right? Like, the first 10 minutes, we just look as though we're not prepared. We're not situated, or we don't understand the tactics going on, because how many times is it all of a sudden the first counter and then the other team is scoring? So I think if I had to pick any of the things that could be the easiest maybe to fix, I think maybe the defense is just maybe not pressing that line so high, you know, and just having everything in front and using that. Because the other thing too, you know, when I think of Barcelona's high line suffocating defense, it wasn't only the defensive line that was pushing, but it was also the midfield coming from behind and pushing that as well, right? And I feel like that's also lacking as well. So is there any other things that you see defensively with this team that could, like, you know, I don't know, like, you know, this is the same thing we're seeing, not just from the Clásico, but, you know, week in and week out.
Not specifically on that. I want to pick up on something you said, though, and this is about to go potentially very, very wanky very quickly, right? But you said that if I was a consultant coming in, I would start with the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously everyone in the WhatsApp group vaguely knows what I do. But for those who don't, I work in business transformational change. So exactly kind of what you would do, but in different organizations in a football team. And this is something that in my job, I have to deal with all the time, right? Which is if we, I don't even know how well this is going to come across, but let's go with it. If we look at the football team being like the IT infrastructure of a business, you could argue that your defense is your data and your security. The midfield is your software, and then the strikers are the fancy shiny business applications, right? Which is what I deliver. I often get asked, I want to, you know, what should we focus on? Or get told, I want to focus on this. And I always start with the same thing. And I bring people back in business and I say, forget what you want to start with or finish with. Who are you? What do you want to do? Very big, very grand, very cheesy business speak, right? But what are you trying to achieve here? And it's never about the thing. So I work primarily with banks and insurance companies, and it's never about the application. It's about make more, spend less, improve customer experience, whatever that is. So if I was a consultant example and work that backwards, I think before we start addressing what we should do with the defense or defenders, the first question that we need to ask if you're going in and speaking to Xavi is, what do you want this team to be? Who are you? Who do you want this team to be? What is your vision for this team? Because I think if you kind of pause the game at any one moment in time and said to someone walking in the room, what do you think this club stands for? If you did that every 5 minutes with a different person, ended up with, what's that, 45 different answers?
Yeah,
that's not right, but we'll go with it. I think that's one of the big problems that we have, is that we can't start addressing issues until we know what the club is actually meant to be right now. And so I don't want it to become a series of me going, I don't know, but that's my biggest issue with the club right now, is get the defense to do what?
Yeah.
Be more attacking and hope it forces the team up the pitch, be more conservative and bring them back.
Sure. And I think also, if you asked Xavi that question, I think he would say, you know, I want to be like Cruyff, you know, as he's been trying to say, you know, Cruyff style. I mean, that's what he's saying. But again, I know. But I think it's twofold to say those answers. Just like he asked for forgiveness, right, last night to the fan base. Mm-hmm. It's this idea of, you know, I'm trying to implement this style, and I'm doing the best I can, but also it's also the players that are fulfilling the contract. Mm-hmm. Because the other, the thing last night in the post-conference is he keeps bringing this idea of, we're not at the attitude or standards that we should be to implement this Cruyff style, is what he keeps trying to push, you know? And like, is last night really is the outcome because we didn't have effort or 10% more effort, or is it really just the plan and lack of tactical thing? Because again, Ancelotti knows what we're going to do, and he baited us and he put Vinicius mm-hmm. through the middle where we thought Araujo was going to be guarding him on the right, you know? And that's just a simple wrinkle. Like, it's not even like, you know, like this wrinkle that was like, oh my God, but it was just a small wrinkle and we still didn't know how to adapt to it.
Yeah. And if you listen to Vinicius, that was their game plan since, when are we now? What day is it? So it was Sunday yesterday. Since Thursday, I think he was saying. that was their plan. It wasn't a tactical adjustment to what they saw us line up or anything like that. It was just obvious. So I don't think it's effort. No one particularly stood out to me as if they weren't trying. I just don't know what they were trying to do.
Exactly. That's the thing is, you know, when I think of, you know, always professional sports, you know, you always think of these things of, you know, the start of a match, not conceding so many early goals, everyone being on the same page tactically, like knowing what we're doing, you know, especially with like, okay, so you want to use a high line, but like everyone has to be on the same page. Like, we can't dart left and right, and we continue to do that. And again, I'm just still baffled by Xavi's coaching, or maybe lack of, like, I don't know what else we can do, because the thing is, like, we come on and we want to see better football, or just more fundamentally sound, you know, and it just seems like we can't have any of it. It's like, you know, I think I would be more happy, not happy, but like I would be more accepting if we were doing 3 to 4 goal outputs. But the fact that we can't even get on that end, and then conceding so many goals, and then on top of that, like, we can't even like string 4 passes together. It's like all the mismatch that we've been talking about, you know, like we need to go in consulting. And again, he continues to deflect and say, you know, these type of phrases of like, it's attitude, it's mentality, it's preparation. Like, you're part of that preparation, like, as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, it feels to me a very risky tactic, that, because fundamentally, if the players are suffering from an attitude problem, you can't change 21 players.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And so it has to be the manager. And I think Xavi's been around football long enough to know that. And I just wonder, and I hope I'm not derailing you into a topic that you wanted to discuss later on, but do you remember when Pep left and he said a phrase, and it was something like, I need to go now before we start hurting each other. I wonder if we're at the stage with Xavi. It's been 3 years. He's an inexperienced coach. We know that. I will die on the hill that he was the manager we needed.
Sure.
And I will die on the hill that he's overachieved.
Okay.
But I wonder if we're at the point now where it simply ran its course. We're 3 years in. He's surrounded himself with an incredibly reckless backroom team. And so he's got no one that's really steering the ship for him or with him. Sorry. And the fact that they keep getting, I mean, we must have someone removed from our bench every game.
Yeah.
And you know, you can ignore that if you like. I see it as a sign of a club that is just completely in turmoil at that level, because that just should not happen. And so
that's a great point. Yeah. It's like it's amateur hour, you know. It's just like it really is.
It's Sunday league stuff, and it's a sign of, you know, and I hate to say this because of the fact it's our biggest rival, but I can't help but respect Ancelotti, and there is no way that happens on his watch to that level. It does not happen. That person would no longer work for Real Madrid. One of my colleagues messaged me last night, and in amongst him laughing at me, one of the things he said was, he basically said to me that, you know, Ancelotti has done a number on Xavi. And I said, I agree. And he said something along the lines of, he's the best coach in the world. And I was like, I'm not sure I would say that. I said, but what he is, he's a mister. He's not a trainer. He's a full-on manager. And we don't have that. And I just think we're at a point now where, whilst I don't believe it will happen unless two things happen. Number one, unless we lose to the team that we're playing in Unionistas. Unless we lose to Unionistas and or Napoli, I think if we lose one or both of them, I think he could go. But I just think time's run out for everyone, and like some great relationships end eventually. I think this is where we are with this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point about the bench, and just like there's always someone getting ejected all the time, and it's always kind of just pushing the blame on refs. Like, for example, you know, yesterday, because I was listening to watching the press conference today, and he was just talking about the Araujo penalty that he thought wasn't a penalty.
That annoyed me so much.
Correct. But also just blaming the idea of that because it was called a penalty, the players couldn't perform, so therefore it was the referee's fault for the lack of performance for Barcelona and that idea, right? And like, to me, that's the wrong type of attitude you want to put, because, you know, for what Ancelotti did with putting Vinicius going up through the middle, it caused so much havoc, right? And also, you know, in that idea of Araujo, I mean, you can call it soft and you can call it whatever, but at the same time, from the perspective of the referee, call it a foul and that's it. You know, we're so fundamentally bad on defense and that we have these issues, you know?
And soft penalties are penalties. This is where we are, and this is why I'm saying the Benitez comparisons when he was at Madrid, which is, I'm just bored of listening to Xavi complain. You look at it yesterday, the penalty decision killed us. No, it never. The penalty may have, but the penalty decision did not, because it was a penalty. You know, the sending off, it was a second yellow card. Like, in isolation, that gets given as a yellow card 9 times out of 10. Like, we can debate it like we can with every decision, but it's one that a referee has every right to make. And, you know, this might not be popular, but we have not been on the end of many bad decisions this season.
Yeah.
And yet we've had Xavi blame refs every other week. And it's bizarre. We've had grass, we've had sun, we've had physicality, fair enough, because that first game was horrible. Sure. But it seems like everything has something that we have to come back to. And my friend Ian has an amazing saying. He says, you can either be a thermostat or a thermometer. You can either set the temperature of a room, or you can just transmit what everyone else is giving you. And Xavi is becoming that really cold, horrible thermostat where everything is negative.
Yeah.
Everything's against us, but it's not even Mourinho-esque kind of batten down the hatches, let's go all in together, because there's no rallying cry at the end of it. It's just, this is grim. No one likes us. And so, yeah, whereas if it was, this is grim, no one likes us, so we're going to go and show them, I wouldn't like it, but I could understand it from a psychological perspective. And it's just a strange one. And I'm late to the Xavi out party, just because I think financially it was incredibly difficult for us and still is. But I just think there's now no other option. And we're now just, the egg time has turned now. We'll just see how long it takes.
Yeah, I personally think he's going to make it to the end of the season. I just think financially in that way, because there's no really great options out there. I mean, we can't afford anything else. I mean, exactly. And then you're telling me that Rafa Marquez is going to come from Barca B. I mean, come on, like, seriously, we're going to go through the same type of emotions, you know? And you can say, Barca B may be a better competition than when Xavi coached, but at the same time, Rafa Márquez is still green. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't proven anything yet, you know? It's just really frustrating because I can't think of a season being a Barcelona fan of a team like this where I just feel so disconnected and I don't have anyone I can just latch on and say, oh my God, this is the player I want to see tonight. Regardless of what the outcome is, this player really excites me. And it's very strange. I've never had this feeling with Barcelona ever. You know, I mean, just go back to all the times. There's always been someone I can hang my hat on. I was like, I'm excited to see this player, blah, blah, blah. And now just look with the team, you know, with Lewandowski's terrible performances, the attack just not having, you know, the vibrancy or the improvisation that they used to have of like having fun and trying to score goal on top of goal on goal. Like, we can't even score one, you know? And and on top of that, the brilliant midfield passing we were known for, we can't even string three passes together now. We are just going side to side backwards and nothing else and never taking chances. And you know, like Remy just put something into the group that I said, like, you know, of separating Xavi as a player to the manager. And I'm still having a hard time with this right now because it hasn't been that long since he's left the club as a player, you know, and you're just like, how can he not see what's going on with the team and just make slight adjustments? It's just really, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I just, you know, we talk about this all the time and it's just, I don't want to say frustrating, but at the same time, it's just, we just want more and we know we have good players and that's the thing, you know?
It's understandable though, right? And this is what's the enigma really, isn't it? Is you mentioned there about not feeling kind of connected. And I think like the vast majority in our group probably have no first line connection to Football Club Barcelona. I'm sure most of us are in that boat. Sure. We're not a second generation fan. And there's something that brought us to this club, whether that be the city, like it was myself. I always say the city came before the football. Some people, it will be a player. For Carlos, it will probably be a Brazilian somewhere. But, you know, jokes aside, I think, you know, we've all got a reason why we support this club. If I was coming green to football right now, knowing nothing about any of the teams, et cetera, and I watch this club, I don't think I would want to follow them. No. Now, that's not going to make me change my opinion on my fandom. Now, of course it's not. I just mean there's nothing to hang your hat on.
Sure.
But for me, it's not about, you mentioned there about our style that we're known for. And I know you weren't going there, so I'm just using it as a hook to my next point. It's not even as if I'm pining for the days of a particular style, because my opinion on football is very simple, really, is I watch to be entertained, and there's a million ways of playing entertaining football. Pep's style and Klopp's style are equally valid, even to an extent Mourinho's style sometimes. It can be funny at times. But I think, you know, there's lots of ways of making football fun. It doesn't have to be one way. But I couldn't tell you right now what we're doing. I couldn't tell you what we're trying to be. Game by game, half by half, it seems to change, but it doesn't change with any real clear direction. And so that's where I am. I'm finding it incredibly easy to be slightly apathetic this season, in the sense of I'm not getting particularly low with any of the lows.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been any highs really to get to. So I just feel like I've had a season of 4.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
And there isn't enough capacity to kind of just go through life like that when you're a club that is so relying on getting eyes on your team, people through the gate, new sponsors. There's talk of Puma putting up this historic kit sponsorship deal. And if I'm looking at that commercially, I'm thinking, why? Well, unless you know something's changing. But this is the risk that the club's gambling with now, is that for the same reason that we had all the arguments about whether we should play kids last season, for the same reason we're talking about what managers we can and can't get, the bottom line right now is the bottom line. And that's precisely the quandary that we have, and the club need to be very careful that they don't drive that apathy towards the bulk of where the money comes from for this club, which is the remote, the virtual fan base who will spend money in order to feel close to the club. And I think we're very fortunate that we've managed to land Vitor Roque, because I think he could be the person that you hang your hat on. I understand why he didn't play yesterday, because that's not the classical debut you want to give your future face of the franchise, to borrow a phrase from your neck of the woods. But I think the club are dicing with a very dangerous position here, because it's not even a guarantee that we make the Champions League on this form.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I mean, you know, they're playing in Salamanca this week, and you're here in Madrid. You know how cold it is here. In Salamanca, it's even colder. playing on a terrible pitch again. I don't have, like, being knocked out of the Copa del Rey would not surprise me this weekend, you know, and especially just how teams are going after Barcelona like never before, you know.
Did you see that tweet?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I don't think that's fully banter. If you're their manager, you're saying to them, Shuley, this is the biggest chance in your life to get a result against the club.
Correct. And no one's going to care 20 years from now because it'll just be Barcelona, you know? It doesn't matter if it was a shit Barcelona or whatever. But yeah, I mean, exactly. For those of you it just said believe, right? And then we believe. Mm-hmm. And so this idea, again, like to me, I wouldn't be surprised we get knocked out of the Copa del Rey, we get knocked out of the Champions League. Like, those are things. But again, financially, I just see Xavi staying for the end of the season. I just don't think we would. I mean, who are we going to get? Kiki Setien? Like, what are we going to do midseason? Like, we can't get anybody. Like, what? Like, there's no, you know, so we're stuck with Xavi. And, you know, and the other thing too is, you know, I just want to finish off this with like just the mentality of the team. So do you honestly think that the team is so mentally weak as maybe Xavi's portraying and what you're kind of watching? You know, as I am a doctor in body language detection in sports, you know, I mean, I don't think it's completely mentally ill. I just think, you know, it just reminds me all the time of the players aren't fully aware of what Xavi wants. And I don't know if that is directly because of communication issues or what is going on, but it just feels, you know, whenever they're playing out there, they're not playing completely free of knowing what the game plan is. It's always kind of like, two steps forward, one step back. I don't know if I should come back here and this type of thing. But let's go back to the mental issue, because we have a question from Babak from our group. And he's like, I think the problem is with the bad results and now embarrassing results that has affected the player's emotional status. So do you think there's any credence to that? Are you kind of seeing that from the team? You know, I mean, I don't know. I still think, you know, these are world-class players still, like Lewandowski. And that to me is like how – I just don't see that as much, you know.
I don't buy that. I mean, okay. I think it's a valid question. That sounded incredibly dismissive there, and I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying for me that's not it. And the reason is precisely the things that you just said there, which is these are players that have won everything.
Yeah.
Some of them. And so you don't develop that overnight. What I do think though is, and we can put ourselves in that situation, when things are going bad, you have to root yourself back to something. And I'm kind of bringing it back to the style point a little bit, but I think it's because that's where the root of our problems, which is when things go bad, what are they rooting themselves back to? And again, there's many ways to skin a cat here. If you look at Ange Postecoglou right now, who I miss dearly from his Celtic days, and I genuinely think he will manage Barcelona one day. When things are going bad for his team, they can root themselves to a style of football because he's absolutely adamant that that's the way they play. If that means that their centre halves will give a goal away because they've passed the ball square, he doesn't care. The goalkeeper will ping it to a striker and they concede. He doesn't care because they can root themselves back. And that's why they keep getting late goals. If you're Klopp, it's the same. Klopp's teams root themselves back to the fact that they just don't stop going. We're 1-0 down in the 99th minute. Doesn't matter if there's another minute left to play. We'll try and get something. And they root themselves back that hard work will solve their problems. And all of the great teams and the great managers have had something you can root themselves back to. Even if, like Mourinho, as I always say, you don't like it, you can still root yourself back to something. And a lot of these players have played in great teams with great managers who would have had some level of style. Lewandowski's a great example. Someone put it in the WhatsApp group, and apologies, I can't remember what it said. Lewandowski's scoring from outside the box. Why is he there? Exactly.
Exactly.
It's not a good thing.
No,
you know,
no, no.
The goal wasn't. No, and I think, you know, if you look at the way that sometimes De Jong seems to be everywhere, that's not a good thing inherently.
Yeah.
Because that's often not the position he's playing. The defensive line that you say in there, you know, we've got players who don't, they're not stepping up at the same time. It's because there isn't anything dragging them to this. Are we a team that comes from behind? Sometimes we've been behind a lot. We've come back. But would you say that's a characteristic of ours? I wouldn't. Are we a team that attacks from the front? Sometimes. Would you say it's a characteristic right now? I wouldn't. Are we a team that plays a high line? Sometimes. Would you say it's a characteristic? I wouldn't. Are we a team that attacks down the flanks? Sometimes. Would you say it's a characteristic? I wouldn't. And I could go on. And I could go on. And I could go on. And that. So I don't think it's about mental fragility. I think they're just a team who right now is lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, we're just, like, the thing is, This is the toughest thing, is when you're grasping at straws when your team is not elite, right? And you're just like, is it this? Is it that? And this? And we're just trying to figure this out, right? And there's just like no there's no magic pill for this thing. Like, it's not just one thing. Like, it's not like we need a goalkeeper, you know, like, and that's going to solve our problems. It has nothing. It's like so many issues with this team. And again, I love that, because like Lewandowski scores like a really great goal from the outside the box, but it's like, dude, like, be on the front line. You're not supposed to be in the back trying to play make. Like, that's the thing, you know.
Yeah. So and I think it's to your point. I think it's hit terminal velocity now. I don't think you can pull it back. I mean, you know, I've seen a quote in the WhatsApp group that said we should get a defensive coach in. Now, two things I would say on that. Number one, I don't think they really exist per se.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think you're going to get. But the second thing is, what good would it do? The only thing that I could see making any sense would be something that is actually disrespectful to a club legend, and that is you effectively bring someone in as a proxy manager, and Xavi becomes effectively a stooge. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
97-ish, when Liverpool did it with Roy Evans and Gerard Houllier. Mm. Might have even been earlier than that. Roy Evans, a Liverpool legend manager, you brought Gerard Houllier as co-managers, and it was one of the most disrespectful things I've seen. The only thing I can see fixing this short term is something like that. Number one, it's disrespectful. Number two, we don't have the cash to bring someone decent in anyway. So I just think we've hit terminal velocity, and now it's about putting the car in limp mode and driving it back to the garage, I think, this season. And we'll see where we go with it. But it's a shame. The only thing I can really feel about this all, it's just a massive shame. But I still think, and I would be bad if I didn't end my kind of, I hope it's not a rant, but it feels like a little bit against Xavi, to say that fundamentally, I think history will judge him as someone that's overachieved, all things considered, type with his time at Barca, but it needs to end quickly for everyone's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's ultimately what it's going to be, is that he overachieved, because again, you know, as we saw in March of 2023, which feels like a lifetime ago, where we did beat Real Madrid, you know, and that just seems like a lifetime ago. But since then, we have not been able to find the momentum. You know, for example, on Thursday, we won 2-0, but it was like the hardest fought 2-0 that we've ever had in our lives. You know, it didn't feel good. It didn't feel as though we had so many chances to counter. And also, like, there was obviously controversy in the Osasuna match, you know, with this idea. And so, and it's just topsy-turvy. I really hope, I think my wish right now as we speak, I just really hope to see, I don't want to put pressure on Vitor Roque, but I just want to see something. I just need some spark, you know, because I don't see it from Ferran, I don't see it from Lewandowski, and I don't see it from Rafinha. Those players aren't giving me the chills of an attacking football, you know, as I desire to see. And so, I just hope that, you know, we can go through this week to the Copa del Rey, because I think that is important for us to have success and to kind of continue through these tournaments. But, you know, the other thing that's really important, Craig, is that, you know, Champions League for next season is not guaranteed as we stand right now. And that is really one of the things that is looming over this. You know, there's a lot of things, as we say right now, like to try to beat Napoli, but also just as important is finishing in top four. And we are like right there. I mean, I could see like the way we finished this season last year, like if we go on a five, you know, non-win streak, you know what I'm saying? And that can really, really affect us in the long term. So there's a lot of different things, and we desperately need Champions League next year. There's no ands or outs about it. So, okay. I think we've kind of, I mean, you know, right now, just really kind of quickly, the way Real Madrid are just kind of flowing with the youth that they have, the way that they're playing is something to behold right now, because obviously I'm never a fan of Madrid, but there are players on Madrid right now where I watch, and I'm just like, obviously Bellingham I like, but also just Camavinga and Chouameni. Like, I love the French engine, you know, of midfielders. Like, there's just something that I always respected, you know, going back to the 90s with the French team. Just those players, man, they just, and then maybe it's something because as a player myself, I was never known as a runner like that, but the way they can just go up and down the pitch is just insane. And something like, Frankie, I would say, is definitely a player like that, but to me, it's in a different class of Chouameni and Camavinga. When I see those players go up and down, it's just like, oh, and then coming at you, it's just like another thing. So Real Madrid are definitely rolling right now. It's their turn right now.
That's it.
Yeah, and you know how it is.
We'll come again.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, being a fan of you know, professional sports teams, you know, you have highs and highs and lows, and everything's cyclical. So, you know, that's just how it is. All right, let's finish off really quick. A quick FCB Femini update. They want, I mean, they're the pride and joy right now of Barca. So they want 6-0 going away with a B team over the weekend, the Copa del Reina. They have advanced down to the quarterfinals, so that is great. They also have Champions League and Supercopa against Real Madrid. I hope they put a baliza to Madrid on that. And then going on right now is the best awards in London, in your old neck of the woods in the UK. Obviously, this is for the calendar year of 2023, so Messi might not win the best because obviously the World Cup is considered 2022 for that. So, yeah. But obviously the big winner is probably, you know, obviously going to be Aitana Bonmatí, who's probably going to win the award again for the best women's player because she's the best. And I don't know if you have any other last things for us about Barca this weekend. I mean, this weekend is tricky, man. I mean, it's Copa del Rey, and then we swing against Betis, and then again, Champions League is looming in the horizon. So, and you know, it with the amount of injury, I know it does not stop. I mean, the good thing is we had a break during Christmas, you know, so the players could get ready, but man, it's crazy how the schedule stacks up, especially in February, like the middle of February, like it's just nonstop. It's just completely nonstop. Where are you going to be watching the match this week on Thursday? Are you going to be,
but based on current form,
yeah,
through my fingers, hoping for the best. I genuinely not sure. I had all the best intentions of doing lots and lots of things, and then work is just very busy. But I did manage to get to
Tell us about that.
Union Adave game. So
if
Xavi's not careful, you might find that I get a cheeky Bosnum transfer to Adave talk. But it was really fun. It was one of the things, without turning this into the Craig podcast, one of the things that most excited me about being able to move to Spain for work was that Spanish football will become my football, was the way I tried to explain it to people. And instead of just being the weird one at work that likes a different league and as if I'm just trying to be contrarian in some way, I could feel like I had a bit of ownership of it. And for me, it wasn't about getting around the big stadiums and stuff like that. It was about going and seeing real Spanish football. And so to go and watch Adave versus Badajoz, obviously let me
ask you this, because there was a little bit of an issue at the end of the match with Badajoz. I don't know if you saw what happened at the end, if you stayed long enough.
It kicked off throughout the game
with Badajoz and their fans.
There was a lot of anger towards their manager. There was a lot of anger towards the general performance. There was a lot of needle in the game. Again, if we look at, we're talking about the anger in our bench, a lot of elbows left in. It felt very Scottish, if I'm being honest, in the sense of there was a lot of bad tackles, and I think you could easily be forgiven if you're a club as big in relative terms of Badajoz to thinking that's a little bit beneath you, going and playing on a municipal 3G pitch and having to resort to tactics like that and then still getting beat. But it was really fun. And I think, I know Victor's a big fan when he went to the UK and went to see York City and stuff like that. But I think for anyone that's traveling to different countries, I would say, yes, pick your big games, but go and see some real football as well, because there's something real about it. And I'm trying to think of a better word, but I think it's very easy to think the soul of football is going at the top level.
I think it's a good way. It's tangible, soulful. You're like right there on the pitch.
It matters.
You can feel it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. If you go and play badly, you might not have a team next year.
Yeah.
And that means you might not have an income next year. And so I looked at tickets for Alcorcon and they were 50 euros.
Yeah.
And I'm not paying that. And then the Adave game cost me nothing. I mean, if anyone from Adave is listening, I'm sure you were meant to have someone on the gate and they went for a beer or something. But so don't fire them. I say fire them. Probably a volunteer.
No, it was really fun.
And I think it's probably what I needed this weekend, just to show me that, you know what, I can still go and enjoy football and not just have it annoy me.
Sure. What happened is at the end of the match, essentially, so Badajoz is struggling, right, for relegation right now. I think they've lost like 6 in a row or something like that. They're in really bad form. And what happened is the fans of Badajoz they started screaming at the end of the match to the team. The team came and confronted them in the stands, and the captain and the main player was telling them, you know, like, we're trying our best. And then the one player is like, I have so much anxiety, like trying to like plead with them, like I can't even sleep and I'm trying my best out here. And the Badajoz fans were like not having it. So it was this idea of like the yeah. So you should definitely, I'll send you a video from it. But it's funny because I saw it on the sports show today, and when they showed the picture of the field, I was like, is that the match that Craig went to? Because the picture you shared with us had the four towers. It was really cool. It had the four towers in the background, and I was like, did he go to Badajoz? And then so like I was gonna make a point to ask you about that.
I didn't realize it was it was bizarre though. Like, it shows you, you know, when you go down the leagues and stuff, and you know, I've seen it in Scotland and England as well. But you know, you've got these teams basically fighting for their careers, and then just over the other side of the pitch is like a mother and her daughter playing paddle, and you're like, oh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
They've paid 5 euros an hour to go and knock a ball around.
Exactly. So, well, you know, obviously when you make the move permanently and stuff, we can definitely go check out some games. I'm down for that.
Amazing.
For sure. Well, anyway, thanks for joining me as always. As I said, next match is Thursday night, Copa del Rey, and then Sunday night at Betis. So we'll have an episode next week. I think Remy will be recording that. And until next time, Forza Barça.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.